I'm going to begin on the special 30-minute segment of our programming, a message on the subject, Why I Speak with Tongues. We've been getting pro and con. When I come on the broadcast, I do not come on here speaking in tongues. I do as the Apostle Paul said, if I'm going to teach or preach, I speak a language that people can understand. If I would speak in unknown tongues, it would be just that. It would be unknown tongues. There has been so much discussion down through the years since the Pentecostal outpouring of the Holy Ghost on Azusa Street. Back in those days, they used to call them the tongues people. People begin to fight it and oppose it. Others begin to receive it, express it, and it's become a widely accepted experience among what we term today as the Pentecostal people. Then, as all things that God has given to mankind, it fell into disarray, pollution, corruption, misapplication, misappropriation, and misuse. Then the pendulum would swing the other way, and people would say it's been done away with. There are biblical experiences that are scriptural, clapping your hands, lifting up your voice, and praising God. Praising God in a dance, worshiping God in the beauty of holiness, praising God in psalms and tongues and revelations. All of these things, such as divine healing, prosperity, holiness, sanctification, divinely inspired biblical experiences that have been received by many and kept in and possessed in vessels of honor. These same experiences then have been received by others who have caused the experience to be blasphemed, denounced, and rejected. Jesus said, when you pray, pray not as the hypocrites pray. Now what I'm using that for is, do we stop praying because hypocrites pray? Do we stop singing songs of praise because people have misused singing? Do we stop praying for the sick because it's been misaligned and turned into merchandising? Do we stop receiving prophets because there are false prophets? Do we reject the real Christ because of the false Christ? The answer to that is very obvious. No. You do as the Bible says. You prove all things, and you hold fast to that which is good. Speaking in tongues, is it of God? Is it of the devil? I can assure you that anything that God uses, Satan steals and also uses. That goes down as far as churches. God has a church. Satan has a church. The object of worship in the Christian church is Almighty God. The object of worship in Satan's Luciferian types of churches is the devil and the flesh. Satan, this is pray. They chant. They sing. They believe in miracles and supernatural. Satan is a thief. He steals every bona fide blessing that God has given to mankind and distorts it and pollutes it and warps it. So it is with speaking in tongues. Do we throw the baby out with the bath water, as we used to say? Do we get rid of tongue because it has been misused? Do we ignore it and say it's been done away with because it has been abused and misaligned? Absolutely not. It is a beautiful, scriptural, biblical experience. It has been received and strengthened hundreds and thousands of people down through the years. Why I speak with tongues? We're going to answer three questions. Who speaks with tongues? When do they speak with tongues? The reason why we speak with tongues. Then I'm going to add another one. The purpose of speaking with tongues. Is it another language? Is it just someone getting up and talking in German or French or Chinese or Japanese or Yiddish or what? Is it just a bunch of gibberish? Does it have any meaning? Can it be understood? Well, first of all, I want to read for you. In Mark chapter 16, you know, and even with this particular verse, the theologians who have done away with speaking in tongues have actually gone in and took out this whole passage of Scripture and said it wasn't even in the original, continuing an effort on Satan to making God a liar. Mark chapter 16. And afterwards he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and he upbraided them. That means he scolded them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Then he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, you preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Well, how in the world do we determine who the believer is? Is there a way that we will be able to identify Bible believers? Sure. Verse 17, Mark 16. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Notice what he said. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You will know he's a believer because there will be signs that identify him as a believer. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Listen to it. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, handle evil spirits, demonic forces. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, every one of those signs could be preached on, discussed, accepted, rejected, opposed, received by masses of people everywhere. The one I'm dealing with now is, they shall speak with new tongues. The believers should speak with new tongues. We're going to answer the question by the Holy Bible, reading right from the King James Version, turning to Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. And the first question I'm going to ask is, who speaks with tongues? Who speaks with tongues? Let's see if we can get a clear answer from the Word of God. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Remember now the word they. I want you to also remember in Mark 16, the word them. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall speak with new tongues. Acts 2 and 4, and they, there's the word they again, were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. In Acts chapter 10, and there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. He was a centurion of the band called the Italian band. He was a devout man. Verse 2 of Acts 10. And he was one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid. And he said, What is it, Lord? Mind you, Cornelius, outside of the covenant, but seeking God. And as he was praying, an angel came to him. And he looked on him, and he was afraid. But he spoke to the angel, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, to Cornelius, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. It's amazing, is it not, that God would not let the angel deliver the message of the gospel to Cornelius, because he had chosen that that message should be delivered by the means of chosen men, not women, men. Do you hear it? And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius, verse 7 of Acts 10, was departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, they sent them to Joppa. And on the morning, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up unto the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Now I want to go over to verse 33. Peter is now responding to the message that was delivered him by Almighty God, that what he had cleansed don't call unclean. And here's what it said. He came down to talk to Cornelius. And now he is relating what took place as he came down. Verse 33. He said, Immediately therefore I sent to thee, Cornelius talking to Peter, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. I wish you people out there would hear this. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. And Peter preached the message of redemption and the salvation of men's soul to Cornelius through Jesus Christ. Verse 44. Listen to it. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did they know? Was there a sign there that these were now true believers? Why, sure, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall speak with new tongues. The Bible says that the Jewish Christians here were astonished as they saw, witnessed, and heard the mighty demonstration of God's acceptance of Cornelius and his household by pouring out the Holy Ghost on them. How did they know? Verse 46. Acts chapter 10. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Peter then answered and said, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost? How did they know they received it? They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. I want you to remember the words they and them and the word all. I'm going to go back to them. Who speaks with tongues? These signs shall follow them. For they were all filled and began to speak with tongues. And the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. How do you know? For they heard them speak with tongues. In Acts chapter 19, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples. I want you to hear this. This was not hit and miss. These were disciples. How? He could see the discipline of Christian principles being practiced in their life. They were disciples. They were living, consistent, disciplined, scriptural, biblical lifestyles, and it caught Paul's attention. He found certain disciples. He said unto them, recognizing that they were believers. The believing had brought about a change in their life. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Notice the phrasing. Paul did not say they received the Holy Ghost when they believed. Somehow he detected something was not complete here. He knew they had believed, but somehow there was something missing. So he says, you're a believer. I can see that. You do believe the principles of Christ's teaching. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. I always marvel at this because the effective ministry of John the Baptist was so profound that it brought about a transformation up to this point in their life. And yet they said, when Paul asked them if they had heard or received the Holy Ghost, the Spirit indwelling within them, they said, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. It's amazing because if they listened to John preaching at all, and John preached unto them the baptism of repentance, he would come right behind them saying, I baptize you with water unto repentance. But there is one coming after me who is mightier than I, and he is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. But they said, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And Paul said unto them, unto what were you baptized? I mean, there's a change in your life. You're disciplining yourselves. You're following the teachings of Christ. What brought this change? Well, they said, we were baptized under repentance, under John's baptism. Then Paul reminded them that John barely baptized with the baptism of repentance. Do you remember that? Yes. He said unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him. That is on Christ Jesus. Oh, yes. We remember John telling us that. So when they heard this, they heard that Christ has come, that Jesus had died and was buried and rose again, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they became true New Testament believers. How do we know? Why, Paul laid his hands on them, and they then received the Holy Ghost who came on them. How do you know? Was there a sign? Did something happen? Why, sure. They spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. I want you to take notice, my friend, who speaks with tongues. And these signs shall follow them that believe, them that believe on Jesus Christ, them that receive the promise of the Father through Christ, for all the promises of God are yea and amen to them which are in Christ Jesus. They spake with tongues. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. How do we know? What gave us the witness? They spake with tongues. Who speaks with tongues? Why, the believers do. Those who believe on Christ and get filled with the Holy Ghost, they shall speak with new tongues. I want to take up next, when? When do we speak with tongues? Do we run around just talking with tongues and preaching in tongues and prophesying in tongues? Do all speak with tongues, writes the Apostle Paul in the book of Corinthians? Has tongues been done away with? Is it a bunch of jibber-jabber? Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that this prophet of God, like the Apostle Paul, I declare unto you all, I speak with tongues more than you all. And I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. Tongues is a sign, the Bible says, not to the believer, but to the unbeliever that you are a believer. Who speaks with tongues? Why, the believer. These signs shall follow them that believe. On the next broadcast, I'm going to take up the subject, when do we speak with tongues? How is it profitable? Does it honor God? What's the purpose of it? Why has God granted it and given it and spoke of it? You'll want to be with me. You're listening to the international broadcast, The Overcomer, coming to you by satellite from Walterboro, South Carolina, in the United States of America. This is the voice of the last day prophet of God to mankind everywhere. The restoration of all things is about to be fulfilled. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ said, I will come again. He is coming in your lifetime. This is the last generation. Prepare to meet your God. Maranatha.
And be praying forever and ever. King of kings and Lord of lords. And be praying forever, forever and ever. King of kings and Lord of lords.
You everywhere throughout all the United States, and we're grateful that you're with us again here on the international broadcast. I'm reading from Acts chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Amazing, huh? This business of outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It came on the day of Pentecost. It was marked by a phenomenon. The Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As we began on yesterday to discuss and preach and proclaim a message on the subject, I titled it, Why I Speak with Tongues. The purpose of this is that the last several weeks we have had people challenge our calling and our commitment to God because we speak with tongues. Now, I very rarely come on radio and speak with tongues, because I know the words of the Apostle Paul when he declared, I rather speak 10,000 five words with my understanding than 10,000 words without understanding. That's the reason why we don't preach by speaking in tongues. That's not the intent or the purpose for tongue talking in any shape or form in the Holy Bible. Yesterday, I dealt with the subject, who speaks with tongues. I went through many scriptures where it said, and these signs shall follow them that believe, for they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with tongues. I emphasized in every scripture the words them, and they, and all of them. Then we identified who the they are. These signs shall follow them that believe. Who speaks with tongues? Why, believers do. Just as simple as that. Jesus said, go ye therefore into all the world and teach all nations, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then he said, and these signs shall follow. It will be around or near the believers. These signs shall follow them that believe. Now, you might say to me, does that mean all? Does not Paul, do we not read under Paul's writings, do all speak with tongues? Well, we'll get to that before we are finished. The question is, who speaks with tongues? Why, it's believers that speak with tongues. Are unbelievers able to do that? Sure. Anytime you have a genuine, you have a counterfeit. Every time you have a true, you have a false. There is a true worship, a false worship, a true praise, a false praise, a true prayer, a false prayer, a true prophet, a false prophet, a true Christ, a false Christ, a true doctrine, a false doctrine, a true brother, a false brother. So don't come with me and do away with the experience of tongues just because there are misapplications or false tongues. They just substantiate the fact that there is a true tongue, just as sure as the Bible is the Bible. Now, for they shall speak with new tongues. That's the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the question is, when? When do people speak with tongues? We'll answer in coming up broadcast why, the purpose, the intent. But right now, I want to deal with when. In the book of Acts, the second chapter, it reads like this, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this was not a learned language. It was not even a language that they were speaking that had anything to do with any earthly thing at all. I know a lot of you try to say that they were speaking in different earthly languages, but that's not true. That's not what the Bible says, and that's not what it means. It simply tells us that while they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they began to speak in a tongue unknown to them. Now, when Peter was speaking, the Bible says there were Jews, devout men, out of every nation, of many different tongues. Peter was speaking to the whole bunch of them at the same time. He was not speaking in each individual language. He was speaking in a spiritual utterance. The Bible says they spake with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance or the ability to form the words that they were speaking. The hearing came in also a miracle application. As they stood by, looking up there at this one man, Peter, speaking, they were astonished. And they looked at each other and said, is he speaking your language? What language is he talking in? The Bible says they were amazed because all of those men standing there at the same time, listening to the one man speak, the Bible said, heard him speak in their own language. So there was a miracle of speaking and a miracle of hearing. Peter and James and John were not speaking just various different languages so everyone could hear. They were speaking in the language of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit was giving them utterance. The miracle on the hearing end was just as astonishing as the one on the speaking end. Do we not hear them all speak in our own language? It is amazing, is it not, that God can take a language unknown to men, and yet all men are able to understand it. That really is the way the Holy Spirit does anything anyway. The Bible, you can read it and study it out, unless it is quickened and revealed and opened up to you by the Holy Spirit, it's just another book. When did they speak with tongues? Why, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost. That should be plain enough. In Acts chapter 10 and verses 45 and 46, I read, "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God." When did they do that? Why, verse 45 tells you when they did it. "And they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished." Here were Gentiles, and these Jewish men who came to preach to the Gentiles with Peter were amazed, because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did those Jewish Christians who came with Peter recognize that the Gentiles were now receiving the Holy Ghost? How did they know? What witness, what sign was given? Why, verse 46 says, the reason they knew that they had received the Holy Ghost, "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." When that phenomenon took place, Peter says, "We can't reject these men. We can't reject these brothers. We'll have to baptize them and receive them into the body of Christ, because God has already put his approval upon them by giving them the Holy Ghost." How do you know, Peter? "I heard them speak with tongues just like we did." We know that they have the Holy Ghost because we heard them speak with tongues. In verse 48, "He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days." In Acts chapter 19, where the Apostle Paul was on his way through the upper coast of Ephesus, we talked about that yesterday, and it says he found certain disciples, men whose lives were already disciplined under the teaching and the message of the coming Christ. It says here, he found certain disciples, verse 1. "He looked at them, and seeing that they were patterning their life of discipline in a holy manner, he said, 'Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?' They said, 'The Holy Ghost? We haven't heard whether there be any Holy Ghost.'" Paul was kind of taken back with that. He said, "But you do have some teaching and some discipline here that shows you heard a message of the coming Messiah, and your lives are being disciplined accordingly." Certain disciples. "How were you baptized? How did you get started on this way of life? Who did you hear preach? You had to hear somebody preach." "Why," they say, "we were baptized under John's baptism." "Ah," Paul said, "very good baptism, very good start." "Said, don't you recall, though, that while John was here and preaching to you, that he told you that he would baptize you with the Holy Ghost?" Then said Paul, verse 4, "John barely baptized with the baptism of repentance, but he did say to the people that they should believe on him which should come after him. That is on Jesus Christ." Those disciples said, "Hey, that is what John said." So Paul said, "I'm here to tell you that Christ has come. The Messiah that John picked out has come. And you need to be baptized in his name, showing you believe the message, and you too can become part of the body of Christ." Verse 5, "Why, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. How did you know? How do we know? How does the Scripture tell us that we know that the Holy Ghost came on these Gentile believers at Ephesus? Are you ready to read it and quit your debating and arguing and fighting with it? It says here, for they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now, when do we speak with tongues? Why, when the Holy Ghost comes on you. When you receive the Holy Ghost, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, that Spirit of God within you will begin to speak a language that is relevant to the will and the mind of God. The Apostle Paul used it in a phrase one time when he said, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But he says, with the Holy Spirit inside of us, he will make intercession for us according to the will of God. That's because the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God and can pray in the will of God and does not seek to satisfy the longing of the flesh. Who speaks with tongues? By the believers. When do they speak with tongues? When they are filled with the Holy Ghost. It's just as simple as that. Now, whenever we preach this sermon, we always have those who are going out trying to disprove. I'm always amazed at Christians who are trying to disprove biblical experiences. I can't for the life of me understand why any of you could read the book of Acts and hear about that glorious experience that transformed the lives of people, and yet you work so hard to explain it away, to reject it or refuse it as a part of God's dealing with men today. I would, writes the Apostle Paul, that you all speak with tongues. Forbid not, he said, to speak with tongues. And then he goes on and gives us the proper order in which tongues should be accepted and used and monopolized in the body of Christ. Now, for you that always like to oppose, let's go to Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And remember, we're discussing when do they speak with tongues. And we read several scriptures that showed you that when the Holy Ghost came upon the people, they spake with tongues. Now, there is one place in the Bible where it does not mention speaking with tongues and the Holy Ghost came on them. You find that in Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, it does not tell you at that place that they spake with tongues. However, if you remember, these were people who had already received the Holy Ghost. These were people who were seeking God for strength to stand the persecution that had come upon them. And so the Scripture does give no need that to tell you that they speak with tongues at that particular time. Now, in Acts 8 and verses 14, Acts 8 and verses 14, we read again another incident. Let me read it for you in the 14th verse of chapter 8. Now, when the apostles were at Samaria, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down to where they were, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That ought to shake up some of you people out there that teach that no one is saved unless they are baptized and then filled with the Holy Ghost, because here was people who were already receiving the Word of God, and they had already been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus and had not yet received the Holy Ghost. Verse 17, then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, you notice it does not say in that particular verse that they had spoke with tongues. That is one of the instances that it says that. But something did dramatically catch the attention of people who were nearby. Look at verse 18. When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. So something dramatic took place at that time. Whether it was speaking in tongues, the scripture does not say. But it does not say neither that they did not speak with tongues. Ladies and gentlemen, who speak with tongues? Why, they, them, and all. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall speak with new tongues. And they were all of them were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they all began to speak with tongues. When? Why, when they received the Holy Ghost, or when the Holy Ghost came on them, or when the mighty, empowering presence of God came upon them. What are the reasons? What are the reasons why people today should speak with tongues? Why, you find it in Mark chapter 16 and verse 17. Turn to it there in your Holy Bible. Mark chapter 16, verse 17, these signs shall follow them that believe. The reason for speaking in tongues is because the Bible says that believers would do that. In Isaiah chapter 28 of Isaiah and verses 11 and 12, the prophet speaking of the latter days begins to say and identify with tongue talking. Here's what he says. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Prophecy being fulfilled. This is that, spoke Peter. That was spoken of by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Jews and Gentiles alike. Your young men shall dream dreams. Your old men shall see visions. Upon my servants and my handmaidens, I will pour out of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Speaking in tongues was a sign that the Holy Spirit had come upon the people of God. They shall speak with new tongues. These signs shall follow them that believe. You're going to tell me today that we are not still obligated to become believers and have the signs of the gospel following us? Sure we are. Tongues has not been done away with. Prophets have not been done away with. Divine healing is still viable today. Spiritual gifts are still operable in the church as long as the church is on the earth. Yes, they've been misused and abused and misaligned, but you don't do away with the righteous and the good things because of the evil that has been propagated by them. I don't stop praying for the sick because men have merchandised healing. I won't stop prophesying because men have polluted prophecy. I will strive to live holy, even though men who say they serve a holy God live on holy. No, my friends, who speaks with tongues? Why, the believers. When? When they are filled with the Holy Ghost. On the next broadcast, we're going to shock you out of your wits. I'm going to deal with the subject. Jesus spoke with tongues. He was our example. If he did it, should we not do it? Why did he do it? You'll want to be with me on the next broadcast on the subject, Why I Speak with Tongues. I trust that you enjoy the broadcast and been receiving from the Word of God. This is Brother Stair. It's a joy being with you. Until the next broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, the voice of the last day prophet of God to mankind everywhere, the restoration of all things is about to be fulfilled. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is coming in your lifetime. This is the last generation. Prepare to meet your God. Maranatha.
and he shall reign forever and ever.
King of kings and Lord of lords.
To the mind of man, then 10,000 words in the tongue that he wouldn't understand at all. So, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Look what the Bible says, for no man understandeth it. Howbeit, it doesn't say he should not do it. Howbeit, in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Who understands the mind of God save the Spirit of God? Who understands the mind of man save the Spirit of man? And so, the Spirit of God will make intercession with us, make a witness with our spirit, and we can have revelation and knowledge applied to us through the power of the Holy Ghost. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh unto God. Now he that prophesieth, remember, the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. He that witnesses that he knows Christ, he that prophesies, he that is a witness to Christ is alive and living in him. He that prophesies speaketh unto men. Isn't that what Paul said? You are living epistles, known and read of all men, and they're watching the Spirit of Christ operating you, and that testimony is the spirit of prophecy, and it will edify, it will bring exhortation, and it will be comfort. Now, verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue. I want you to notice that Paul never tells them not to speak with tongues. This is the point that I want to get across to so many of you who say tongues have been done away with and it's not necessary. This is not the way Paul preached. It's not the way the New Testament church went. Paul said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. And that is what the Bible even tells you to do. It tells you to build up yourself in the most holy faith. How? By singing songs, by giving praise, by speaking in a tongue, by glorifying God. Strengthen yourself. Strengthen your inner man. Edify yourself. Speak with tongues. That's why Paul said, I would that you all speak with tongues. You would strengthen your inner man. You would edify yourself. Now, don't go around speaking in tongues everybody else, Paul said, because that's not the way to do that. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. From time to time, you may hear me do that on the broadcast. And at that moment, what I'm doing is I'm taking a drink. I'm strengthening myself. I'm in the spiritual realm because we are fighting a spiritual battle. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth or lives a Christian life, the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. He that prophesieth liveth the Christian life. Huh? Are you listening to me? Edifieth the church. Now, verse 5. Paul writing again, I would that you all speak with tongues. It'd be nice to know that there's times when you can go over here and build up yourself and strengthen yourself and edify yourself in speaking in tongues. He said, but rather that you prophesy. Now again, he's not doing away with tongues. He's not saying either or. He's simply saying, it's nice speaking tongues. I wish you would all do it. But rather, Let your life be a living testimony that Christ dwells in you and that you are serving God and that there is hope in Christ rather than that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues. Paul again is not doing away with tongues. He's just putting it in its proper perspective, in its proper place, in the manifestation of the Holy Ghost in the Christian church today. He says, if you prophesy, you live a Christian life, you proclaim the Word of God, then you are greater than he that speaketh in tongues, except there be an interpreter, that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come together unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? If I get on the radio broadcast and just constantly spoke in tongues all the time, it would have no value to you at all, because I'm not even talking to you, except I interpret what I'm saying, and I've done that at times. He said, I speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine. Verse 15. What is it then? I will pray. I want to go to verse 14. Verse 14. 12 and through 14. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, you want God to use you. You want God to bless you. And you want the gifts of God to work in your life. Paul said, that's fine. Covet them. Desire them. Yearn for the giver of gifts to give you a gift to be manifested to edify yourself, but mostly you seek to edify the church. For as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel, that you may perfect that gift, that you may operate it right, that you may use it in order to edify the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. You notice again, Paul does not refuse or reject speaking in tongues. He just is telling you how, where, when, and why to use it. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Ask God to give you interpretation if you're in the house of God, so you can share what the Spirit is interceding with you, so others may know the mind of Christ at that time. Now, verse 14. Here's Paul talking now. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. My understanding is unfruitful. Is he denouncing it? Is he telling us not to do it? No, he's telling us what is taking place when you pray in an unknown tongue. Your spirit is praying. Now, you may not know what you're praying about. You may not have any idea. Isn't that what the Bible says? Isn't that exactly what the Scripture says? We know not what we should pray for as we ought. Sometimes the natural human mind rebels against the mind of Christ and the will of God. So you get into the spiritual realm and you fight the fight in the spiritual realm. And Paul says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. My understanding is unfruitful. I don't rightly know what the Spirit is praying about. But he will pray according to the will of God. Isn't that what the Word of God says? Huh? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit of God will make intercession for us. And that prayer in tongues, in the Spirit, will be according to the will of God. And then if we ask anything according to His will, we know He hears us. That's why when you're finished praying many times in the Spirit, and the Spirit breaks through to God, you come away with an assurance, with a faith that God has heard, and that there is an answer on the way. What is it then? I'm going to pick up with that on the next broadcast, because it is a very important input. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, Paul says. And I will pray with the understanding. also. I will even sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Amazing, is it not, my friend? You'll want to be with me on the next broadcast. You're listening to the international broadcast, The Overcomer. This broadcast originates from the radio room here in Walterboro, South Carolina, where the prophet of God is preaching and proclaiming, preparing, urging, admonishing the people of God to be prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached as a witness unto all nations, and then shall Jesus come. Ladies and gentlemen, today, now is this scripture being fulfilled in your hearing. Would you like to hold the hands of the prophet up? You receive a prophet, you receive the prophet's reward. I thank God for the reward of a prophet. He reveals times and seasons and incidents unto the prophet. And then he grants me the ability to relate them and an opportunity to proclaim them to the whole world. And those who receive the prophet understand and receive the revelation truth needed for the hour and the time we now live in. Would you make me a cake, so to speak? Would you sustain me? Would you grant to share with us your gift to help us maintain this broadcast? My mailing address for your letter of support. You just address your letter to me, Brother Stair, S-T-A-I-R, Post Office Box 691. That's Brother Stair, Post Office Box 691, Walterboro, W-A-L-T-E-R-B-O-R-O, Walterboro, South Carolina. Zip code is 29488. Remember, you put on that envelope just my name, Brother Stair, Post Office Box 691, Walterboro, South Carolina. Zip code is 29488, USA. If you'd like to contact our office, here is the phone number. You call this number between 9 and 5 Eastern time only, Monday or Sunday through Friday. Don't call on Saturday, Sabbath day, please. But you call between 9 and 5, Sunday through Friday. Here is the number. Area code 803-538-3892. That's our office number. We'd be glad to hear from you. This broadcast is surely a sign to this generation. There will be no sign given but the sign of Jonas the prophet. You're listening to the prophet for this generation. This is the last one. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a joy, and yet it grieves me at times to watch the way the people react to the message of God of truth for this hour. Until I'm back with you again, remember, this is the voice of the last day prophet of God to mankind everywhere. The restoration of all things is about to be fulfilled. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, he said, I will come again. He's coming in your lifetime. This is the last generation. Prepare to meet your God, Maranatha.
And he shall reign forever and ever, King of kings.